Welcome to the Destined for Success podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and this podcast used to be called New Manager Media, Manage Right from the Start. Many of the concepts are the same, but there's a little shift. There's a shift because I know we are all destined for success, and I want to help you find the fastest, smoothest way to reach your highest best as quickly as possible. Join me in today's episode where you're going to come up with new ways to build your skills and influence others to make the impact you desire to make. I look forward to connecting with you soon. Welcome to Destined for Success. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and today you have the pleasure of meeting my friend, Jackie Bailey. And Jackie and I originally met in person. I believe it was at a Speaker's Playhouse live event. And then we've met at various events over the years and online quite a bit. Jackie, thanks for being here today.
Hey, Jennifer, it's great to be here with you. And I think we met in Dallas. Does that sound right? I think that might be right.
I think it was Dallas. Yeah. And then did we meet in New Orleans too?
We might have. Yeah, probably.
I think then we were in New Orleans also. Yeah. So, hey, if you pay attention, you can go places and meet cool people.
That's right. As I have done many times.
I know. It's so fun. So, Jackie, you've got multiple things going on. The one thing I love is your Speak Lead feed. Where a lot of your attention goes to helping young people speak. And I want to talk about that a little bit, and I want to talk about your upcoming challenge. But three of my great nieces went to a public school here in Oklahoma, but it's fairly small in comparison. And starting in pre-K, I think it's once a week, they have the chorale and all the kids come to the auditorium. And every week, a grade gets up and they do something on the stage in front of the whole school.
Wow.
And then as they age, then they rotate around which kid takes the mic. But at some point, every single child in that school has stood on the stage in front of the whole school and taken the mic. And I thought that was spectacular. Because as we both know, public speaking is one of the biggest fears people have, you know, death, public speaking, and moving, building a house, I think are like the top three. And it doesn't have to be that hard and that scary. And I love the fact that my three great nieces like grew up having to take the stage. Then they all were cheerleaders and in dance, you're taking the stage. So I love the fact that they had this big experience. I say that because public speaking is part of our lives, and we have various formats and ways of doing it. And I hear people complain about Zoom, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've made some really great connections on Zoom, and it was just a matter of time till we could meet in person. And it doesn't bother me at all. I am an extreme extrovert, but I can sit in my house in this camera for days on end. I don't even go get the mail. Like, it's like, oh, that's just too much trouble to walk to the end of the driveway. I don't even have a large driveway. But you do. And some people are scared to get on camera on Zoom or to speak. So the fact that you have an emphasis, probably not your only emphasis, but an emphasis on children or younger people and getting them talking and speaking is amazing. So kudos to you for that.
Thanks, Jennifer. And I'm excited to know that there are schools in Oklahoma that are getting these kids on stages really early. I mean, you said pre-K. That's really cool, because what I have learned is kids are inadvertently told to be quiet or to not speak up. I think, you know, parents are doing the best they can, but we do say things to our kids sometimes that make them less comfortable to speak up. And so when they get opportunity to do it and learn to be comfortable doing it, that's a big deal, because we want our kids to feel comfortable sharing what they're feeling or sharing that they're uncomfortable with a person that maybe they see every day, or we want them to be able to come to us when they're making a big decision about something that could be detrimental for them. And so if we, on purpose or by accident, make them not want to come to us, not want to speak up when they need to, it could be a bad thing. And I think that's where that fear comes from, is in somebody's past, they've been judged or ridiculed by something they've said, and it's just now too scary to actually speak up, and they'd rather just not say anything. And then we have our devices today that have not done us any favors when it comes to learning how to communicate better, because everything's texting. In fact, I asked one of my young students, when she's 14 at the time, I think, I asked her to tell me what her greatest fear was at this time in her life at the age of 14. And she said, "It's having to talk on the phone." And I said, "Are you kidding? Are you kidding me?" That was her biggest fear, and she was serious. She said, "Yeah, I had to call. I put my skis into a repair shop to be repaired for me, and I had to call them back to check on the progress, and I just couldn't do it. It was just so scary." So it's a big deal for kids. And so I am delighted.
First doctor's appointment. I can remember my nieces, their mom was like, make your own doctor's appointment.
I know. Yeah, that would just be too frightening for most of the kids today to even consider
That's just
doing
too
that.
much. It's too much.
Yeah.
Well, I was shocked. I had to make a doctor's appointment. I was like a senior in high school, maybe. And I was like, Mom, we don't even have a doctor. We didn't go to the doctor. Who do we go to? And she gave me the name, and I went. And I had a job, and I had a checkbook. And they said it'll be X amount of dollars for the visit and the treatment. I had a wart on my hand I needed burned off. And years later, I found out I was on their insurance, their health insurance, all the way through college. And I didn't even know. My mom was like, well, you're in charge of that. Take care of your own stuff. And
Wow.
I don't think she did it like intentionally. Oh, I'm not going to tell her. I think it just didn't. Well, make your own doctor's appointment, do your thing. So,
Yeah.
very different approaches, but technology is technology, whether it's talking on a telephone or a Zoom or, however that a microphone, somebody hands you the mic, you say yes, kind of thing. But you have to practice, you have to learn it. And I love that you work with people and help guide them to being able to do it better. And I've been at events where you were one of the coaches giving feedback, and it's always spot on, clear, concise, direct.
Yeah.
And we need that, and they need to be able to speak and articulate what's going on. I had a conversation with somebody, and they have a loved one or a friend's loved one has cancer, and they said, oh, I don't think the doctors are doing very well, and I don't think they're taking good care of this person. And I said, the problem is, if somebody's given bad news, sometimes their brain just shuts off and they don't hear the rest of it. So, do they really have a bad doctor, or did they just hear part of the information? Because I've watched that in my own life, and I'm like, wait, that's not what they said. I was there. So it's that whole communication piece, whether you're a listener receiving the information or the speaker sharing the information.
Right. Well, and it could be that the doctor doesn't communicate very well either. I mean,
Exactly.
it could be happening in both situations there, both sides of the situation, but yeah, I mean, if we can't communicate with someone comfortably, we're in big trouble, because our voice really is that mechanical part of our system that allows us to share what we need to share, whether it's information, whether it's feelings, whether we're protecting somebody else. I mean, we have to be able to speak up. Communication is not optional. No matter what language you speak, you have to be able to share. And so when we are sort of shut down or quieted or silenced or something like that, it can, at least for me, it can change us physiologically, who we are. It makes us doubt that we have anything important to say. And literally, it can make us sick. I know a lot of people who have voiced the idea that they started developing problems with their throat or with their voice or even their stomach when they were holding things in because they were afraid to say it. In fact, it was years ago, Bernie Mendel, he's an MD. He wrote a book called Love, Medicine, and Miracles. I don't, Bernie Siegel. Bernie Siegel, that was his name. He wrote a book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And he talked about cancer. He was treating people with cancer. And in almost all of these cases, it was because they were holding on to something and it was affecting an organ in their body because of what was needed to say. And one example was a man with stomach cancer, and he was on his deathbed. And Dr. Siegel just said, "You know what? You need to tell your family how you feel about them because this is the last chance to communicate." And when he did, when he was able to have each of his children come in the room and vocalize to them that he was proud of them, that he loved them, and even share some secrets that he'd never told them, he healed. The cancer actually went away. And so it was living proof that when we hold things in and we don't communicate, it can literally make us sick. So communication is absolutely ultimately important for our health as well.
Well, it is, and we share that information. And like you say, sometimes the doctor doesn't have, the best communication skills. Sometimes we don't ask the right questions. Like, a friend of mine's dad had been ill, and she and I talked multiple times on, wait, what about this? What about this? What about this? We had all the questions. But as her parents were of the generation that you don't question the medical profession. They're the experts. They were not. They did a terrible job in that particular case. So it was a matter of communication. They didn't feel comfortable asking those questions and bringing up the information. But to backtrack a little bit, how did you become so passionate about this? Because I love that this is your arena and area, but how did you end up in this? I mean, like, I ended up in my stuff just by happenstance, and one thing led to another. I didn't just like wake up and say, oh, I want to have a podcast one day. I just.
Right. Well, it really came from speaking, actually. I grew up in an abusive household, and there were family members who abused me, as well as friends of family, and even some religious leaders. And I just never said anything. I didn't really have anybody to tell. My parents were not in a happy marriage, and then they got divorced and both remarried, and then another divorce. And I mean, it was just, there was no one I could really tell. And as I said, it's changed me. I mean, I was a really vivacious, kind of silly young girl, but that changed as a teenager. I was really quiet. I wouldn't say I was withdrawn, but I didn't speak first because I was always afraid I might tell something I was told not to tell. And it so in 2014-ish, I started preparing for a contest, a speech contest. It was an international speech contest. And I started to share a little of my healing journey from my childhood abuse in a speech. And I started winning at all these different levels as I shared my story. And what was on the side of that impactful is that every time I shared my story, someone would approach me in the audience who'd heard it and said, "Thank you for sharing that. I didn't know what to call that, or I didn't know how to define it, or I need to forgive my mom, and thank you for telling me that that's how you healed," and all those kinds of things. And so I realized that when people were hearing what I was sharing, they were receiving it and being encouraged to take some action in their own lives from it. And that was pretty cool. So I won like six out of eight levels of this competition, and I was getting ready to go to the next level, which was the semifinals, and it would have been in Las Vegas, Nevada, in 2015. And there was about 6 weeks between when I won the local level, the state of Washington level, and going on to the international level. And so I was kind of this little bit of a celebrity around here. Now, I had a for-profit business. I was a dental management consultant. And so I was kind of working full time at that. But in this 6 week period, as I became this celebrity of this local speaker going to this international competition, there was a group of homeschool parents. They contacted me and said, we have this co-op, we teach our kids at home, and we always like to enhance their stuff. And so we want to know if you could give them some a public speaking class. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. Yeah, I can do that.
I do that.
So yeah. And so these were like middle school kids of 14, 15, 13, 14, 15 years old, something like that. There was 9 of them. And so I developed this, I think it was a 9 week course. And then when that was done, they wanted me to do it again. And then there was a couple of schools nearby, this place where I was teaching this. And they said, we want to send some kids over after school if you'll do another class for them. And it just started to grow. And at the same time, I started to realize how impactful this was for the kids. I mean, just after 2 or 3 sessions, when one kid would come in on the first day and barely look me in the eye, by that 3rd week of class, they were standing up in front of everybody, with their chest puffed out, and they were saying things they'd never told anybody before. And I started to realize, wow, this is kind of cool. And so that just kind of blossomed, and I started developing more and more curriculum. And then I was holding classes more and more, and they were getting filled up. And I was trying to find all these places that I could teach courses, whether it was a conference room at a business park or a community room, some at a center or something like that. Anywhere I could find a place to teach these workshops, and I was doing it. And then I found a brick and mortar location in 2019, which would have allowed me to just kind of, instead of driving everywhere to all these different places, I could just have the kids come to me. So that opened up in the September of 2019, and I had a full house, and it was like a 100-year-old house that was teaching from, that I'd kind of refurbished and made this classroom out of, and that kind of stuff. So that started September 2019, and things were going great. And then, as we all know, the pandemic hit a few
And then
months after that, and I became a nonprofit in that time too. So I took the stuff that I had created for with the for-profit business, and now I was using it with the nonprofit business to continue teaching this curriculum that I had developed. And so anyway, I just started to realize how valuable this was for the kids, how much they needed it, and how much parents wanted their kids to have access to this kind of stuff. So it basically grew from there, and I really didn't do much with my management consulting firm anymore. I was teaching kids full time. Even during the pandemic, it was, let's get on Zoom, let's continue with these courses. And it was a little bit teetering on the edge of success or failure during that period of time because, obvious reasons.
because there was the COVID.
But we've survived that. We survived that. And what I have found lately is that I get my greatest joy, not necessarily in teaching public speaking, but in really supporting through coaching kids that aspire to something big. They know they have something really valuable to say. They don't have a clue as to how to start saying it or who to say it to. And a lot of these kids will say, I want to give a TEDx talk. I have a chronic disease and I've learned how to manage it myself. So I want to be able to share that with someone. Or someone will come to me and said, my family immigrated from one country to the United States. And gosh, it was culture shock in so many ways. And I found a way to get over that and to become involved with my new culture and my new community. And I want to be able to share some ideas. So those are the types of kids I love to work with now. They aspire to something, and I love to be able to help them get there and then get them a stage to talk about it. So I don't do very many classes anymore. It's mostly one-to-one coaching, and that's what brings me my greatest joy. So that was a long answer to how I ended up with that, but it was kind of by accident in that I started to share my story and share my healing journey by using my voice when I broke the silence of my abuse. And that's it's just kind of happened from there that now I help other people to share their voice.
I love that. And as you were talking, I was thinking about that little, I don't know if it was a meme or just a saying of parents teach their kids the first 2 years how to walk and talk and the next 20 how to sit down and shut up. And I mean, there's a lot of truth to that. And so it's like finding and learning as a person from a little person on up that there are appropriate times to speak up, appropriate times not. But often, as we know, what happens is when it's not the appropriate time to speak up, they decide that every time is inappropriate to speak up. So that's like that balancing act. But I know I took my first speech class in 7th grade, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. I was in speech class and did speech competitions. And I liked it. I was actually tongue-tied as a kid, and I didn't speak at all till I was almost 3. And my mom said, "Is there something wrong with her? She's the youngest, and she doesn't speak at all. Is she okay mentally, intellectually?" And the doctor goes, "She's probably the smartest one you got. She's gotten whatever she wanted for 3 years now without ever saying a word." So my dad would say, "We clipped Jennifer's tongue." And she had never spoken a word, and then she never shut up. And 1st grade, my report card, Jennifer's a great student, but she talks too much in class. And so 2nd grade, I'm not going to talk so much in class. I couldn't do it. Like I lasted like, I don't know, 15 minutes or something. I'm just, yeah, Dad, you're right. You were right. May you rest in peace, but you're right. I never shut up after that. But going to those speech competitions and stuff, I have a girlfriend now, and she's like, I was driving to Tulsa, which is about a 2 hour drive, and the next day I was giving the opening keynote talk at a conference. And she was like, "Oh my gosh, are you ready? Are you scared to death?" And I was like, "No, I'm kind of excited, and it's kind of odd that I'm going to be speaking to CPAs, but I think like I'm typically, yeah, it'll be fine." And she was like, "Oh, I just want to throw up for you." She was
You go ahead and do that then.
do that. But I didn't really realize as an adult how much doing that at 12, 13, 14, 15 years old molded how it was easier as I got older. So if you're not introduced to it, if you're not getting any type of training or guidance whatsoever, it makes it much harder to do. And then you can't share that story, and you can't share, "Oh, I did this and I was healed," or "I did this and this was my journey." Or I remember talking to a girlfriend, and in our circle of friends, I'm going to say super loose circle, a couple that like projected themselves as the perfect family. Of course, there was a breakdown because there's always a breakdown because there is no such thing as a perfect family. I hate to be the one to spoil it for some of you, but there's always a crack somewhere if you didn't know. And my friend said, "Oh my gosh, all these years I thought they just had the perfect life." And I looked at her and went, "Oh, girlfriend, nobody does. Like, no, like we all do the best we can and have the best time doing it that we can, but there's no such thing as perfect." So that was like a big opening moment for her, which, if again, communication, if it hadn't come out that, oh, everybody has a little chink in their armor, she was going to continue feeling less than. And she's not less than, right? None of us are. We all have our superpowers. Yours are just different than mine. I love that.
Well,
Go ahead.
yeah, I mean, and we know what we just we as I mentioned before, sometimes we as parents or aunts and uncles, cousins, whatever, when we have children in our stewardship, we often silence them. And I do remember during the pandemic, many of my students would t had told me, "I can't share with my parents the fear and the concern and the uncertainty that I feel, because I know they're stressed out. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about grandma and grandma getting sick. And I can't add to the burden or the weight of the family by sharing how I feel. And that broke my heart because I know the parents weren't trying to do that. But by not sitting down with their kids and saying, hey, look, these are trying times. These are some of the things, we're worried about. And it's okay to have that worry. It's okay to have that fear. As a family, though, we're going to do everything we can to get through this together and make sure everybody comes out okay. But don't worry about what mom and dad are worried about because, as adults, we got bigger things to worry about. But don't be afraid to share with us how you're feeling about things. That would have made such a difference for the kids that told me they just had to just swallow it. And what happened then during a pandemic is a lot of those kids took their own lives because they didn't have a way, not my kids, but other kids, they didn't have a way to share it. They didn't feel like they had anything to contribute to what was happening at that time, and without life experience to understand, we're going to get through this. Life might look a little bit different on the other side, but it's going to be okay. Without knowing that, they couldn't see an end to it. This was their darkest of days, and it was just best to walk away from it. And unfortunately, it happened a lot during the pandemic.
And you had the lack of connection with other people, and you talk about the devices, which can be problematic, but they also lost the ability to run and play and do things with their kids. And so time's going to tell of the overall recovery of it. But as you and I both know, we have a choice once we become an adult, as a kid somewhat, but as an adult, as we see more things and get more experiences, we have a choice. Like, I want to heal from this, I want to move on from this, and we can like do that. But when you're dealing with the kid, like, they don't see that. They don't see a possibility. I remember my mom would always say, "This too shall pass." And I believed her, and I heard it my whole life. And there was an extremely devastating period of time, and she said, "Jennifer, this too shall pass." And I looked at her with tears running down my face, and I'm not much of a crier, so if I cry, it's like a big deal. You need to stop and pay attention. And I had tears running down my face, and I went, "It is gonna pass, Mom, but not today. Like, it's not gonna pass today, but I know that it will." So I still had that hope, but it was like, give me a little bit of space to be not okay today. But that being able to have that conversation, because there was probably a time when I would have never said that to my mother, right? I was an adult when this was going on. But even as a kid, I probably would not have shared that or said that to my mom. So that open communication in so many ways. I had a conversation with someone this week, and it was a business type situation. And I hung up the phone, and I thought, wow, I'm just really proud of myself for being able to give her solid guidance on how to handle a very difficult conversation. And later I got a text message, and it was like, wow, that was so helpful. Like, you have no idea how helpful that was. And it was like, yay, like, all of this is for a reason. I'm so glad that I was helpful with that. But again, you got to have that continuous learning going on and being able to communicate and share, which, I mean, that's one of my favorite things is to share what I just learned. Like, oh, guess what I just found out? Let me tell you all about it.
No, that's great. You are a wonderful communicator, Jennifer. You have a special sense about people and when they need you to either just give them a pat on the back or a hug or a compliment. You have a great sense for that. And we need more people like you because many times if someone feels a sense of, something's a little off about that person, they ignore it instead of give them a hug or just say, hey, you're awesome. Thanks for being you. Sometimes just a smile or simple things like that changes the trajectory of someone's day, and that can make a big difference. So you're the kind of person that I know would never shut anybody out, and so that is your superpower, and I appreciate that in you very much.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that very much. What is it? Thank you. I received that. Let me breathe that in.
That's right.
So you have a challenge coming up.
I
Tell us about your
do.
challenge. I'm kind of excitable about this.
Yeah. In May, we're going to do our 30 Days to Unmute Your Voice challenge. And so every day of May, the people doing the challenge, which can be a joint, you can join that through my Facebook page, they will be given a tip. Or a trick, or some way to shift the way they think about speaking and sharing their voice and how they might say it in a more powerful way. So there'll be 30 days of that. There'll be short little clips that you can learn from every day with sometimes a little bit of a encouraged challenge to take on that day to do something, but mostly just shifting the way you think about your communication. And how to say things, not necessarily better, but with more impact to the person who's receiving it. So you can find out more about that if you join our Facebook page, the Speak Feed Lead Project Facebook page, and that will start on May 1st. And the end result will be that they get to be in a workshop with me to dive a little bit deeper into putting all of those tips and tricks into play and actually thinking about what would be their signature talk, which in my definition is what is it that you are uniquely here to say that the world needs to hear because it's a way that you can contribute to the betterment of the planet. And that's a signature talk. And even if you never plan on getting on a stage to as a speaker, knowing what your signature talk would be, knowing what you would say if you had 5 minutes to say the most important thing you know, that keeps you grounded. It keeps you in alignment with your purpose and who you are, and gives you that added confidence you need to say, "Hey, I can contribute to things because I do have something that I could share." Something to say. So anyway, that will be the result of it is some time with me in a
Oh my
workshop.
gosh, I love that. I'm going to be out of town a bit in May, but you better believe I'm going to be hopping over there and signing up for this
Yay.
too, because the probably the biggest thing that I've learned in my years on this earth is that there's always room for improvement. If you're not learning, you're dying. You've got two choices, and that is a choice. You can learn more or not. And being able to share what you want to share in a positive way, even if it's a difficult conversation, you don't have to destroy the other person in that conversation, or building somebody up as beautifully as you just built me up, Jackie. That was so sweet. I appreciate you being here today. How fun.
Thank you. Yeah, we ended up on a same meeting together coincidentally, and it was like, "Hey, Jennifer, I haven't seen you in a bit." So it was great to reconnect with you after at least a little while. I know that we sometimes end up in same meetings together, but we don't actually get to chat during those meetings. But this on this particular occasion, yeah, we did. So
We
it's
did. And I was
good.
recently on your podcast. What's your podcast? Tell our people about your podcast.
It is In the Groove with Todd and Jackie. And so I co-host that with my husband. And you can find us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, all the platforms, YouTube, you name it. So we're all out there. And we talk to wonderful people like Jennifer.
And I said, "Oh wait, I've been on your podcast. You haven't been on mine." So look, poof, we made it happen.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks again for being here, Jackie. Do you have any last words for our audience before we hang up?
I would just say something today that you're afraid to say. Don't, just go to someone that is likely going to be good to hear it, that they won't ridicule you or judge you, and say something that you've been holding back. Say it today. That's my advice.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for being here, Jackie.
Thank you.
I'm Jennifer Takagi with Destined for Success, and I look forward to connecting with you soon. Thank you for taking your time to spend with me on this latest podcast of Destined for Success.
please take a moment to leave a review, share it with a friend, and subscribe, and get the newest episodes every Monday morning. I'm Jennifer Takagi, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.